Hi, everyone. Ryan Dobson here for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and I have some exciting news to share with you. On November 1st of this year, Dave Ramsey will host a dream team of speakers in a day-long conference that will help you take control of the key areas in your life. It's called the Smart Conference, and there you'll learn from some of America's foremost experts on the subjects of money, marriage, parenting, and personal growth. Why am I sharing this with you? Because our co-host and physician-in-residence, Dr. Meg Meeker, will be one of those all-star speakers. And here's where it gets really exciting. Because Dr. Meeker is a speaker at the event, she has arranged with Dave Ramsey for our listeners to save $10 off the price of admission when you sign up for the event. That's right. Type in Family Talk in the coupon code of the section of Dave Ramsey's website, and you'll save $10 off the price of any ticket. The speakers are so great. We've got Andy Andrews, Emerson Eckerich, Joy Eckerich, Rachel Cruz, Dave Ramsey, Dr. Henry Cloud, and our own Dr. Meg Meeker, and I'll be there too. We're going to do some interviews. We have some giveaways. The day-long event will be held at the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles, California on November 1st, beginning at 9 a.m. Don't miss it, and don't wait to get your tickets because they're selling out quickly. Again, the coupon code is FAMILYTALK, and if you do need help finding a link to the Smart Conference registration page, you can visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on November 1st. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and a few months ago, I had the privilege of traveling to Atlanta with my co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker. Over the 3 days we were there, we interviewed several amazing authors and speakers on a variety of topics. The show floor was loud, and you may hear some background noise, but the content is strong, and I'm excited to share these great interviews with you over the next few months. So here now is the beginning of our interview from the show floor of the International Christian Retail Show in Atlanta, Georgia, on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Well, again, we're at ICRS, and oh my goodness, Dr. Meg.
We have Dr. Charles Stanley here. I've been waiting for this interview for many weeks. I'm so excited. He's one of my all-time favorite pastors, teachers. I love the way he teaches. He just told us that he is 57 years in the ministry as a pastor this month. Dr. Stanley, welcome to our program. We're going to be talking about your new book, Emotions, and I'm so excited to hear you speak about this book.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, and I'm privileged to be here. I've been listening to your dad for years and years and years.
Oh, we appreciate it so much. This book's very interesting. I know my dad really is a fan of this topic. It's called Emotions. The subtitle is very important, Confront the Lies, Conquer the Truth. Can you explain that a little bit, of confronting the lies of emotions?
Well, I think most people's problems consist of some lies about themselves, about each other, about God. If they were honest with themselves, they could settle a lot of their emotional problems. I know there are situations that people need help, but people don't want to go there until they're desperate.
Why?
I think they're afraid of what they'll hear and what they'll see. And they compare themselves with other people, and I can't be like him, I can't be like her.
Sure.
And then they look at their health, and so you can always come up for a reason not to believe that God loves you, cares for you, and has a purpose in whatever he's allowing to go on in your life.
So it really is easier to believe that God is not interested, that God doesn't have a purpose, that God does love you, than it is to believe, yes, he does love me. That's harder to believe, isn't it?
Yes, it is, especially if you don't have any biblical knowledge. And also, it's an excuse for people to get involved in things that are destructive. That people drink, they get on drugs, they have all kind of immoral situations, and they're blaming all this on what's going on in their life, and they've got to survive, and God isn't listening, and he doesn't care. And so all these are just the devil's excuses for heading in a direction that's ultimately destructive.
Sure. You've been a pastor now for 57 years. You've written numerous, numerous books. Why this one and why now?
Well, I think this is probably one of the most troubling times I've ever known. And I've, you know, I've been around a pretty good while. I'll be 82 in September. And in 57 years, you heard everything can be heard. And when you look around today, it hasn't changed. People are still going through the same things. They're not listening to God. They're trying to figure it out some other way. And so I've heard so much of it, I just felt deeply impressed to at least deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You say that God gave us emotions for a reason. Can you articulate that? That's kind of hard because some of the emotions that we feel are very intense. They don't feel good. Grief, sadness, anger. Can you explain why you feel God gave us those emotions? Was it to draw closer to other people? Was it to draw closer to Him? Why did He give us those emotions?
Probably for several reasons. And I think in my own life, I would have to say that some of the toughest emotions that I've dealt with have been things that drove me closer and closer to Him. In fact, when I see a difficulty coming in my life, my first question is, okay, God, what are you up to? What do you want to teach me? Open my eyes, open my ears. I do not want to miss this. That's my attitude about it.
That's a great attitude when you're feeling very, very sad. Cool. Can you talk to us a little bit about shame? Because shame is a bit confusing. Now, does shame come from God? Does it come from Satan? Do you talk much with people about shame, or have you felt shame yourself?
Well, you're probably just giving me a good theme for another book.
I'd read that one.
Yeah.
So I would say this. I think shame can come from two different directions, but primarily, if I feel shame, it's because I feel guilty.
Yes.
Or I feel like I've failed somebody. Or if I feel shame, I may have lots of questions about things, but couldn't put my finger on what it is or something.
Sure.
But I think if you're trusting God, God doesn't make us ashamed. He convicts us of wrongdoings, and so it's not this foggy stuff out there, well, you this, that, and the other, but God's going to say, well, you shouldn't have said this or done this or whatever it might be, or, Lord, I really acknowledge that I shouldn't have and confess it and deal with it. But shame can get foggy.
Yes.
And, you know, what am I ashamed of? Is God's not ashamed of me. He can't love me the way He says He loves me and be ashamed of me. Because He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows about my frailties and my weaknesses and my strengths. And so if I'm feeling shame, I got to deal with that because it doesn't fit who I am.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't fit who God is.
No.
God can convict us of wrongdoing and say, turn, ask forgiveness, and you're clean.
Right.
But the thing that made me think about that was at the opening of the program, you were talking about people who have constant negative feelings towards themselves. And I think that many Christians carry a lot of shame that is really ill-placed. We shouldn't do that. Do you find that people, the Christians that you encounter, have a lot of negative feelings and thoughts about themselves on a regular basis?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And if you ask them why, they hem-haw around. They can't really tell you unless they have committed some bad, immoral act somewhere along the way and they can't seem to believe that God would forgive them, or maybe something else they've done, or maybe something their children have done. But they can't tell you, if you talk to them about God's love and His forgiveness, yes. But deep down inside, it's almost like I don't deserve to be forgiven. I feel better if I feel shame.
In other words, yes, so they hold on to it.
Yeah, so my emotional pain is my, you know, I'm paying God back for what He's forgiven me for.
But to hold on to those deep feelings, doesn't that keep us distanced from God? Because you're basically saying, I'm going to hold on to this, and as long as I hold on to it, your love can't move in and penetrate on a deeper level.
Yeah.
So there's an exchange that doesn't happen there.
Right. They can't, because if you feel that God is ashamed of you, that's the end of the road.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, and so whatever happens, in other words, if a person does something that they're ashamed of, They need to go straight to God. When a person feels shamed and they can't separate that from the love of God, they carry this burden. It's almost like carrying a sack on your back.
Yep.
In other words,
yes.
It's hard to face other people. It's hard to look them square in the eye,
yeah,
because you think, well, you know, if they knew me like I know me.
Right.
All those things that come to their mind. So shame is an issue, and I'm glad you brought it up.
But isn't that the greatest beauty of God and of Jesus Christ? Because the truth is, we don't deserve to be forgiven.
No, that's right.
We don't. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, still, in God's ultimate grace, he sent his son to die for people that don't deserve it.
I think one of the most difficult things people have to deal with is to really and truly believe that God loves them. And that was a time in my life when I realized I didn't really feel God loved me. And I'd been saved and preaching a long time.
Wow.
I was out in Arizona speaking to a group of pastors, and when I came home, I thought, I got to find out what's going on. I felt very uncomfortable about something. I didn't know what it was. So I called four of my friends. They all lived in four different states, but the people I loved and appreciated, the pastors. So we all met, and I said, now here's what I want to do. I want to tell you everything I know about me from the beginning to the end. And then whatever you four guys decide, I'm going to trust that God's telling me what to do. So they said,
Wow. Okay.
So we started talking that afternoon, talked to, you know, dinner, and then after dinner until about 10 o'clock. I woke up during the night and I had written 17 pages, legal size, longhand, of things I wanted to be sure to say, and this, and this, and this. So I woke up the next morning and we started again. We had been talking about 15 to 20 minutes. And the one of those guys said, and I had told him about, you know, one of the first things I told him is my father died when I was 9 months of age and didn't have a father and so forth. Anyway, he said, Charles, put your head on the table. So I put my head down on the table. He said, God just picked you up and put his arms around you. What do you feel? I burst out crying. I cried and cried and cried and cried. He said, what do you feel? I said, I felt God loving me. And one of them said, is this the first time you ever felt God loved you? Well, my first answer was no. But my second answer was, emotionally, yes.
Wow.
And
you
so,
can still feel that right now. I can see it in your face.
I can see it in your face, yes.
How long ago was that?
About 80 or somewhere thereabouts. So, anyway, I realized, I guess because I never had a father until my mother married the second time, I was 9 years old. And so I thought, on my way home, I'm going to see how many sermons on love I've ever preached. One. I went through all my files. One. And I looked at that outline and I thought, that wasn't even worth listening to. It was so bad. Because I didn't know what God's love was about. And so, absolutely, radically changed my life.
It's amazing.
And changed the preaching, of course.
I bet it did.
But I want to tell you one other thing.
Which shows how you've been a pastor for 57 straight years.
Yes.
Radically transformed. My, it's just amazing.
So when these folks were giving me a hard time, and I was getting a little angry at times, and I'd think, well, how could you meet me at the altar and tell me you love me and totally ignore me the next time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in my prayer room praying, and I was just telling God all about that. It's like the Lord said to me, now, if you'll do what I tell you, you're going to win this battle. If you don't, you won't.
Wow.
I thought, well, God, I'm listening. And I'll remember it till the day. He's like he said to me, you must view everything that happens to you as coming from me, from him, not yourself. No matter what they say, what they do, you see it as coming from me, and you'll win this battle. So if they hurt you, you see it coming from me, because I'll have a purpose. If they say ugly things, you see it from coming from me. And finally, when I wrestled with that and I said yes, I got free.
But that would be so hard, because here are these people that you trust and you loved, and now they're saying very negative things. Did that feel like God was saying very negative things to you if they said you are not worth this and you can't do this?
No, I didn't feel
so
that.
So it didn't feel as though God was condemning
no.
you.
Can I ask you a question about that, Dr. Stanley? Josh McDowell said, rules without relationship equals rebellion. And so I've got a son who I love. I would lay my life down for him, and I think he knows that. We have a joke. I tell him I love him all the time. But that also allows me to correct him, and it doesn't shatter him. And so I wonder if the Lord telling you all these things are coming from me because he's allowing it, it's, you know, he sent his son to die for you, and he loves you, and he knows you so intimately, and he said you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and that allows you to say, because I know all that about you, I can accept you allowing these things too because you know me so well, and you want what's best for me, and you've got a plan for my life. Is that close?
Yeah, in other words, if you are rooted in the truth about God, that he loves you, it doesn't make any difference what anybody says, what they do. You just ride above that.
Mm.
And I learned that lesson because I humanly could have had some reasons to really hate somebody. But I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to see that it's coming from you. I want to thank you for that. And I'm going to see what happens.
Dr. Meg, someday I want to have this wisdom.
I don't have it
right now.
Oh, I don't either. I mean, I don't either.
But this is what I'm going to strive for.
Faith is really a decision, isn't it? It's an action. It's not a feeling. Faith is a decision.
It's a decision. And you know, one of the, talking about good things that happen that are bad, well, my father died when I was 9 months of age, and so is my mother and myself. And then I got my first newspaper out, and so I had to get up early every morning and deliver newspapers. Well, it was dark, really dark, 5:30 in the morning, and I was a little bit afraid. Mm-hmm. So I just get up and I just start praying and said, Lord, I want to trust you today and la-da-da-da-da. So this went on for 5 years. Every morning I got up, first thing I did is talk to God all until I got back. It got me in the most awesome habit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because, let's see, I had to be at least 13.
Okay.
About 13. And then since I didn't have a father, it was my mother and myself those early years. And I just started reading the Word, and anytime something came up, I just went to the Bible to think, okay, God, what did you say about that? Mm. And then the person who had the greatest effect upon me and my whole life was my grandfather, whom I only saw 3 times. I saw him when I was 9, 12, and I was getting ready to go to college. I was about 18.
You only saw him a handful of times, those times.
Yeah.
And he had the greatest influence on your life?
Yes, indeed.
Wow. Grandfathers and fathers, listen to that.
And listen to this. I went to see him before I went to college because I knew the college I was going to, University of Richmond, was a little bit liberal. He was a Pentecostal evangelist and started a whole bunch of churches. So I went to see him just to listen to him. What did he have to say to me? So we sat on his screened-in back porch for a week. And all I did was listen to my granddad. And he told me 4 things that sort of set the course of my life. And he said, now, if God tells you to run your head through a brick wall, you head for the wall, and when you get there, God will make a hole for it. So I sort of laughed, you know. But on my way home, I got to thinking about that, and I thought, Lord, my granddad was saying, obey God and leave all the consequences to him. Mm-hmm. That became the foundational truth of my life, period. I'm going to obey God, leave all the consequences to him, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
That puts faith at a different level, doesn't it?
Yes, it
Not
does.
Just sit there and wait for God to deliver you, but run.
Right.
And that really
run
is how to conquer the lies
it
and
is.
Emotions. That right there is how to conquer that.
Exactly.
And the second thing he told me was, He'd been seeking the Lord's will about what to do. He wanted to preach if that's what God wanted him. And so he was walking down the road one night, and he lived in a little place outside of Silas City, North Carolina. Said he got down in the middle of the road, and he told the Lord, Lord, if this is your will for my life to preach, I've got to know it. And besides that, he couldn't read hardly at all, almost none. He said, let me see 2 stars fall. Well, I know what meters are, and you do too. Looked up, and he says, it looks like 2 just fell like that. So what that said to me was, God will move heaven and earth to show you his will if you're committed to doing it. The third thing he told me was, He thought, well, he had to have a tent to preach in. The churches wouldn't accept him.
Sure.
And so he knew that a big tent in those days cost $200, which today would be a lot more. He's walking down the same road, and he said, he's praying, talking to God, and the Lord just gave him just a slight vision of this house and told him what village it was in, but that's all he told him. He said, if you'll go there, you'll have the $200. Well, he said, you know, how do you go to somebody's house that you don't know? Don't even know where they live at this point. Anyway, he finally got up enough courage to go, and he walked around until he finally saw this house that he saw in this little vision. Finally got up enough courage to go to the door. Went to the door, knocked on the door, and this lady came to the door, and she said, well, Mr. Stanley, I've been wanting to talk to you. So,
you can't make this up. Wow.
I'm not making it up. And so they talked for a while, and she brought him a little bag, and when he counted the money, it was $201 bills.
Oh, my goodness.
What did that say to me? If you obey God, God will provide your needs, no matter what they are.
My goodness.
And then the fourth thing he told me, he was preaching one Sunday, these two guys had been drinking. They came in, sat down on the right-hand side, and they were talking out loud. So he told them, he said, you either be quiet or leave. So they got up and left. So when the service was over, the deacons came back in. A couple of them said, look, we got to call the police because these two fellows are down here at the bottom of the steps, and they both have, they call them butcher knives, a kitchen knife. Mm-hmm. They said, they're going to kill you. So we'll call the police. He said, no, you can't call the police. They said, we must call. No. He said, you leave. So he waited till they left and said he got on his knees with his old Thompson Chain Reference Bible, which I still have.
Oh, wow.
And he preached all those years. It's got four pencil marks in it. That's all. Anyway, he prayed and reminded God that he called him, that he said he'd take care of him. He walked up, down the steps, right between those two guys. He could smell the liquor on their breath, and walked on home. What that said to me, you obey God, and he'll take care of you. So when I left that week, listen to what I heard. Obey God and leave all the consequences to him. He'll move heaven and earth, show you his will. He'll provide everything you need, and he'll take care of you. That was better than 4 years of college, 3 years of seminary, and
exactly.
everything else.
Exactly, and that's how you've lived your life.
And so I took him at his word, I believed it, and I...
Has he ever let you down?
Never. Never, never, never has he let me
Such
down.
A great message to grandparents, too.
Exactly.
The influence you can have on the next generations. My dad's talking about that in his book, Your Legacy. His great-grandfather prayed. His grandfather prayed. His dad prayed. My dad has prayed. I'm praying for my kids. We're
right.
keeping it, you know, going on through the legacy.
Right.
And you've got that, too.
So that was all in 1 week.
Man.
All in 1 week.
Yeah. In fact, probably, well, I was there a week, but he just told me story after story like that. And it was in 1 week I went home, but I went home full of faith in God.
And it changed a changed person.
I felt, if you'll do that for my granddad, you'll do it for me.
It's true.
Yes, he will.
And he has.
Yes, he has.
Dr. Stanley, thank you for being here. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule. Thanks for being a pastor for as long as you have. Thanks for your faithfulness.
Yes.
Thank you
for leading
us. We are indebted to you.
Thank you for leading us all of these years. And... God's hand is on you, but his love is just all in you and all over you, and it just shines out of you. And I'm so grateful that we had this chance to sit down and talk with you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the privilege. And, you know, when the Lord is everything in your life, you got plenty to talk about.
That's right.
You have plenty to talk about.
You do indeed.
Yes, we do.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, what a great program we've enjoyed here today on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and the interview you just heard was from the retail show floor of ICRS in Atlanta, Georgia from just a few months ago. If you'd like more information about our guest today or the Ministry of Family Talk, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
We live in a culture that seeks to destroy the faith of our children and force them into a politically correct ideology, a godless system of belief, and a gross immorality that would have shocked previous generations. But the good news is there is a way you can be victorious in the battle for the hearts and minds and souls of your children. Whatever stage you're in as a parent or grandparent, you can leave a spiritual legacy that will equip your children and grandchildren with an unshakable heritage of faith. My dad's new book, Your Legacy, shows you how. This book describes my dad's personal story of his own spiritual legacy, offers strategies for the spiritual training of children, provides help for parents of prodigals, and outlines the blueprint for building a lasting legacy that you can be proud of. Your Legacy is our gift to say thank you for your suggested donation of $50 or more. So call Family Talk to request your copy today. 877-732-6825 or visit our website, drjamesdobson.org.